Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
You know, I have a bad habit that if ever I am watching a Netflix series, I'll often fast forward towards the end to see what happens to the characters. That way you avoid disappointment. Or, you know, if I'm watching a delayed game of football on TV, I'll listen to it on the radio to see who wins, because if my team loses, I don't want to sit up and watch it to the end, only to negotiate the despair of losing. And oftentimes, this is the problem with the Easter story. We are all too familiar with how it ends. On Good Friday, some of the brightest minds have dissected the crucifixion, the pain that Jesus went through, his last words as he released his spirit, his shedding of blood, which paid the price for our sins past, present, and future. And now with only a handful of followers remaining, Friday was a nightmare day. Friday was the kind of day that is pure terror, the kind that when you run on adrenaline only. And then there's Sunday, when Jesus rose from the dead, and we all love Sunday. It's when we sing the songs that reinforce this belief that we've heard about the stone was rolled away and how Jesus appeared to Mary and how he appeared to the disciples. We love that part of the story. And because of this, we live now with an opportunity for a new life, a new start, to become a new creation, as the Bible says, simply because Jesus rose on the Sunday. The disciples were pinching themselves. There's a buzz in the streets. The rumors of the resurrection were beginning to filter through, and hope was returning. But let me ask you today, what about Saturday? No one ever talks about Saturday. Yet on Saturday, when Jesus' followers wake up, the terror may have passed from Friday. There's at least a moment where the adrenaline is gone. Those who believe in Jesus gather, probably quietly. They remember is what people do on the Saturday. They remember the things he said. They remember what he taught. They remember the things that he did, people that he probably touched, people that he healed. Maybe they talked about some stories. They remember what it felt like when Jesus wanted to be with them. They remember their hopes and dreams. They were going to change the world. And now it's Saturday. And maybe they talk about what went wrong. You know, what in God's name happened? None of them wants to say this, but in their hearts, they're trying to come to grips with this unfathomable thought that Jesus failed. Jesus ended up a failure. Noble attempt, they're probably thinking, but he couldn't get enough followers. He couldn't convince the chief priests. He couldn't win over Rome to make peace. He couldn't get enough ordinary people to understand his message. He couldn't even train his disciples to be courageous at the moment of great crisis. And these emotions are going through Saturday morning, the disciples. On Saturday morning after Jesus' crucifixion, the disciples, probably not having slept for 2 days, you know, a gathering, the city that was screaming for the blood of Jesus the day before is now quiet. Crowds have disbanded. Jesus is dead. You know, it's strange that on the 2 days either side of Saturday are so heavily discussed. All 3 day stories share a structure. On the first day, there is trouble. On the third day, there is deliverance. On the second day, there is nothing, just the continuation of trouble. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 to 2 says it like this: "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us, and he has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him." It's a strange day, this in-between day. Saturday is in between despair of Friday and the joy of Sunday. Saturday was in between the confusion of Friday and the clarity of Sunday. Saturday was in between the bad news of Friday and the good news of Sunday. It was in between the darkness and the light. But as far as we know, there has only been one day in the last 2,000 plus years where literally not one person in the world believed Jesus was alive. And that's Saturday. And you and I know the place. You're not like you used to be, but you aren't who you want to be. It's called Saturday. Saturday is where our vulnerability is exposed. Saturday is where you'll undergo a war as your place of origin taunts your planned place of arrival about what it left behind. Even in the Bible, outside of one detail about the guards being posted to watch the tomb, we're told nothing about Saturday. Saturday is the day with no name. Saturday is when nothing happened. Everybody knows what it's like to live in a Saturday. Saturday could be the day that your dream died. You wake up and you're still alive. You have to go on, but you don't know how. Worse, you don't know why. Saturday could be the day you lose a job, lose a friend, lose a health. You have a dream for your child and maybe you've lost that. And on Friday, it dies. But what do you do on Saturday? Saturday could be for a single person who has hopes that God might have marriage installed, but's beginning to despair. Saturday is for a childless couple who desperately want to start a family. Saturday could be someone who longs to have work that is meaningful and significant and yet can't seem to find it. Saturday could be a deeply depressed person hoping for a morning when they'll wake up just wanting to live. Saturday may be your child who feels awkward and clumsy and longs for the day when they get picked first on the playground. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 about the resurrection. It says, "But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead?" So Paul writes about this. How can some of you say that there's no resurrection? In other words, apparently back in Paul's time, there were people saying there's never going to be a Sunday. It's Friday or it's Saturday. Get used to it. Do disappointment management because that's as good as it's going to get. Some people silently, secretly live here. So we've got a decision. We can accept the despair of Saturday and we can stay in our Saturday moment, or we can live with a hope, a constant expectation of good that Sunday is on its way, that God isn't finished with me yet, that my best days are still in front of me and not behind me. The book of Hebrews says this in chapter 6, verse 19. This is the hope. This is the hope that our Sunday's coming is a strong, trustworthy anchor for our souls. So what do? On a Saturday, we wait. We wait with expectation. You know, 43 times in the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that God commanded his people to wait on the Lord. And this instruction to wait on God, the word wait actually means with an expectation. This constant reminder that God has for us is echoed in the book of Revelation, the last words of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 12, where the Bible says, "The one who testifies to these things says, behold, I am coming soon." It may not seem like it, but in light of eternity, it's soon. So I want to encourage you today. It may be Friday, you may feel like it's a Saturday, but be encouraged because Sunday is on its way. And I don't know what needs resurrecting in your life, but God, through Jesus, is in the resurrection business. You know, this morning, we're going to share communion together. It's a wonderful time to, on this Good Friday service, to remember what Jesus has done for us. And I want to read to you from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, in the Message version. It says this, "What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, the Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've now been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. God is keeping a careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, a life healed and whole." You know, as I look at the elements here and I have my bread and I have my cup that represents the blood of Jesus, it's not about the bread and the wine, but it's about the body and the blood of Jesus. It's not about the ritual or the method. It's about listening to Jesus and doing what he says. Communion is not an obligation. It's a celebration. Communion celebrates the gospel. Jesus was broken for us so that we can be fixed by him. Celebrating communion marks the story of Jesus, how he gives himself completely to us for a better life, a new start, and a fresh relationship with God. It's not about a ritual to revere, but a person to worship. You know, Jesus is less concerned about the method of celebrating communion and more concerned that we actually celebrate it. And so today, as we share communion, and I grab my bread and my cup, and I want to encourage you, wherever you are right now, to do the same. I want us to eat and to drink together. As often as we remember Jesus, we need to celebrate Jesus and be so grateful in amongst this season of uncertainty, grateful for what God has done for us. Folks, it may be Friday, it may feel like Saturday, but Sunday is surely coming. Let's eat and drink together.